I love every time I get to come down here. And even today, when we're a smaller number, I kind of like that, you know, that, you know, I can get to feel what's going on with you much better. And I was praying about, and feeling things stirring in my heart concerning today and what maybe the Lord would have me to share with you. And I had bits of the back of envelopes and bits of paper and notes, and I was kind of saying to the Lord, well, what should I bring? And in the end, I just thought, bring it all. Because even now, I'm not totally sure where we're going to go this morning, but I just know that the Spirit of God has something that he wants to impart to us. So please, I don't want you to hear a person speaking, but I just want you to open your spirit, because we're not wanting to hear what human people say, but what we're wanting to hear is what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen. So if you can just be in that place of receiving from the Spirit, that would really be great. A couple of weeks ago, I was in church, and we had a visiting speaker, a Nigerian lady called Stella Idahosa, and she brought such a powerful word. And I was kind of thinking about that, and it was going around my head, and I was saying, but you know, I can't share somebody else's word, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, actually, you know, that wasn't somebody else's word. That was my word. So you just have to give credit where credit is due. And as I began to meditate on that word again, other things started to pop up and other things started to unfold that she hadn't actually said, that I felt were very appropriate for the time and the season in which we live. And she began her message speaking about a passage in scripture where Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, hey guys, who do men say that I am? And you remember that passage of scripture said, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're one of the prophets, and some say you're Elijah, and they all had something to chip in there. And then he said to them, okay, guys, but who do you say that I am? And for a moment, there was silence. Because when we're asked to give an opinion about, you know, what's going on in the world and what people are thinking, what people are saying, we're all full of stuff to say. But when it comes down to, well, who do you say that I am? That's a different question. And of course, there was one of the disciples there, you probably know, was always somebody who was quick to open his mouth. And sometimes that was good and sometimes it wasn't great. But Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And according to Jesus, well, he hit the nail on the head that time, because Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Peter had said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had gotten hold of something. You know, as you track Peter through the rest of the gospel, you come to understand that even though he had said those words, he didn't really fully understand what they meant. And that's okay. That, you know, we can read the scripture and we can see things in scripture, and our Heavenly Father can reveal things to us out of scripture, and we might not fully get it, but that's okay, because it's not over. That God is constantly working in our lives to reveal who Jesus is. And if you want a title for what I'm talking about today, as I was sitting on the sofa yesterday, I just felt, you know, call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all. Just call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. For you and I, in this world in which we live in today, one of the most fundamental things that God wants to do with his people is that he wants to reveal Jesus Christ to us and in us. This is what God is working on in our lives. He wants to reveal Jesus Christ in us and to us. And what amazed me was, I was so blown away by what Stella Idahosa was sharing with us, because during the worship time, before that, the whole issue of revelation was coming up in my spirit. So when she spoke about, who do you say that I am? I was already primed to think in terms of God revealing stuff. Now, because it was new to me in a way, because, you know, we have grown up in this world and we have been educated in this world to think about things from an intellectual base. And sometimes we carry that into our understanding of scripture. So like Peter, we have the right words, but we just don't quite get it yet. But in that way of our education, and that we have become almost totally thinking based, sometimes we carry that into church and we can kind of think that, you know, well, what is revelation? Well, revelation is coming to a proper understanding concerning something. And while we were in worship in that service before Stella spoke, I was coming to realize that revelation is so much more than that. That the revelation of Jesus Christ that God wants to bring is the encounter with Jesus Christ. He reveals Jesus to us so that we know him. Not that we know just things about him. Not that we're really, really convinced of things about him. That's a low level of revelation. But the true revelation that God wants to bring is that you and I would have this encounter with Jesus so that Jesus becomes real to us in our everyday lives. And God is at work in the world, causing that revelation to be birthed in all kinds of places, wherever his people are gathered together. Whoa, I'm excited about this, because you know what? I mean, we see in the world, we see things getting bleaker and darker. We hear things that are, you know, being set in place in legal jurisdictions and laws that are being passed and cultural things that are changing. And, you know, if you didn't have faith in your heart in Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose kingdom is above every other kingdom, you could get quite depressed. Amen. And in some ways, sometimes, you know, that depression comes into the church in terms of people thinking that, oh, you know, things are going to get worse and worse, and it's going to get blacker and blacker, and all the only hope we have is that Jesus is going to appear on the horizon, and, you know, that he's going to wrap this whole show up, and that's going to be the end of it. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of stuff that has to happen before he comes back. And one of the things that has to happen before he comes back is that this glorious church has to rise up in the earth so that the knowledge of the glory of God can fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Because before Jesus comes back, there is going to be a glorious church. Did you know that? There is going to be a glorious church that is above and is visible. As Jesus said, like a light set on a hill, you can't hide it. There's going to be a glorious church in the earth. Amen. And God is busy in places like this Just think, how many places like this are there in Ireland where people are meeting and worshiping God and His Word is coming forth and the revelation of Jesus Christ is being birthed in a way that is sufficient to overcome every dark thing that's abroad in the world today. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And while we were in that service before Stella spoke, my mind was alerted to a passage of scripture that I want to share with you this morning now, because it has to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And you know, there is something as we are orienting our spirits towards this glorious work that God is doing, this thing about revelation becomes more and more important, that God, the Holy Spirit, has to impart an encounter with the heavenly kingdom and the heavenly king that causes that transformation in our lives. Amen? And Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. We might read on a little bit later on, but just, there's so much in that right there. Because first of all, he says, and behold, I looked. You know, when you are worshiping God and when you're in the Spirit, you know, in the Spirit, be looking around. Be looking around, because there are things to see. There are things that the Spirit of God wants to transact with your spirit, and you see them in the Spirit. So John was looking, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Wow. And a voice. So what he's doing there is he's describing an experience that he had. So it was like as if there was an access suddenly open up to heavenly realms that he had never encountered before. And the voice which I heard like a trumpet speaking, and I think some translations talk about the voice which I had first heard, and then you track back in the previous chapters in Revelations to find out which voice was that. And what we find is that that's the voice of Jesus. That's the voice of the glorified man, Jesus, seated on the throne. So Jesus says to him, come up here. Whoa, come up here. Come up here. And the Spirit of God is saying that to the church. And to his people, as we worship him, he says, come up here. I will show you things. And oh, if we want a revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, we need to be ready for the Spirit of God to say to us, come up here and I will show you things. Because, you know, most of my Christian life, when I would open up my heart to the Holy Spirit, I would invite the Holy Spirit to come. I would invite him to come and be with me in my world and be with me in the difficulties and the troubles that I'm facing, and be with me to bring me on in his purposes and so on. I would have that orientation in my spirit that I would want the Holy Spirit to come and be with me. But just recently I've been discovering that the Holy Spirit is not only just interested in being with me, but he's also interested in me being with him. And so now when I come into the presence of God, I'm sitting on the sofa with my cup of coffee, and I say, Holy Spirit, I'm just longing for your presence right now. And I feel the Spirit just starting to smile on my heart. And my next question is, okay, Lord, my place or yours? Where are we going today? You want to be with me in my place, or are we going to your place? Because this is what happened to John. He said, come up here and I will show you things. And the Spirit of God wants to show us things that we've never seen before, because the world in which we live is going to pot in a breadbasket. I don't even know if that's an expression of speech, but you know what I mean. That there's, you know, you can see it. There's no hope. There's less hope and less hope and less hope. In the world, it's getting darker and darker and darker. But God has an answer to that. And part of the answer to that is that he's drawing us up. He says, come up here and I'll show you my stuff. You know, if you watch Sky News, you just see the world stuff. You just see the devil stuff. But if you get hold of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, he says, come up here and I'll show you my stuff. Amen. And when, you see, when we see his stuff, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just read another little bit of this scripture here. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance, like an emerald. Amen. You know, as I was reading that passage of scripture, you know, I kind of always thought about, you know, the throne in heaven. Well, like just, you know, a real kind of big, elaborate chair, throne, where somebody sits in heaven with a rainbow around it. And later on, we get to see a sea of glass in front of it. And as I was just meditating on that in the presence of the Spirit of God, that just came alive to me suddenly, that I had never seen it before in that way, that where he says, there was a throne in heaven. You know what that throne is? That is the epicenter of everything that happens in the universe. That's where John came to stand. He came to before the epicenter of all of life, of all that is happening in the universe. Just amazing. Wow. Everything that happens proceeds from there. And, you know, what is it about a rainbow? Because we think about a rainbow as, you know, nice colors. But actually, what a rainbow is, it is all the frequencies of the light spectrum displayed individually. And the rainbow that surrounds the throne of God is all the frequencies of life, all the frequencies of life, from the frequency of life of the tiniest microbe to the frequency of life that sustains galaxies. It all radiates from the throne of God. That's the place that John came to. You know, and, you know, we kind of think, wow, John, what a life. You know, you must have been just so blown away. And you know, you must have had such a wonderful, wonderful life and experience. And, you know, John had some real troubles in his life, because when he got this revelation, he was on the island of Patmos. He was a prisoner on this island. He had been kicked out of his church, not by the church people, but by the authorities. He had been separated from his church and plunked on this island where there was nothing. He had been tortured. He bore the scars. It wasn't an easy life he had, but God lifted him up and showed him. And he said, I want to show you things that must take place. You know, there are things that God has that must take place for this world. Wouldn't you like to know what they are? And as I was coming down the car, I was thinking about Bitcoin. If you knew in 2011, at a time when you could buy 50 Bitcoin for €1, if you knew that in 2011, wouldn't that have been valuable knowledge? Wouldn't that have changed your life? You know, I was just thinking, you know, I would have been unpicking the back of the sofa to put my hand in to find a few coins in there, you know? Whatever I could find, I'd have been borrowing money from my daughter's piggy bank. You know, I'd have been out in the shed turning over boxes that was full of stuff, hoping for a few coins to pop out. Because if you could have bought 10 euros worth of Bitcoin in 2011, you would be practically a billionaire right now. Amen? If you had known. Well, you know, that's only Bitcoin. But there is a kingdom of God dimension to our lives. And there are things for you to know now that will change your life forever. Amen? And God is saying, come up here and I will show you things. Ha. Amen. And as I was thinking about this, and as I was just fellowshipping with the Lord about this, I just realized, you know, that we have no idea of who we are in the spirit realm, in eternity. Because we live in this time, space, material world, and we look at ourselves and we think, you know, and we look at the universe and we just can't believe that we are the only things that are, you know, that have life in this whole universe. It's so vast and so complex. But we have no idea of what we are in the spirit. And it connected to what Stella was saying, because she was saying, who do you say that I am? Because your answer to that question determines your answer to the question, who do you say you are? Who do I say I am? Because if I see the things as God has ordained them in eternity, for example, the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh, and that links to the whole issue of the sea of crystal before the throne of God. What's that about? What's that about? I was coming down the car, I was just thinking about that, and I saw that in a way that I'd never seen it before. I was thinking about, I don't know, you might have seen these YouTube clips of there's a suspension bridge that they've recently opened in China. It's just a footbridge, and it goes across this huge gorge. And it's probably, you know, looking down, it's probably 1,000 feet straight down as you're walking across this bridge. But, you know, the trick about it is that the planks that this bridge is made of are made of glass. You can see right through them. And as you're walking across, you can see you are walking over 1,000 feet. And you see the YouTube clips, the people go out halfway across and then they lose their nerve. And you see them crawling back on their hands and knees, holding on to people's coats. And they just lost it. Terrified. Can't wait to get back to firm land, because they're walking across this glass thing, you know. And so John found himself, and we find ourselves before the throne of God on the sea of glass, you know, and we could be terrified in eternity, just to be in eternity in the spirit. We could be terrified because we have no recourse. We know what we are, but the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You remember in Esther, where Esther had to come in to the presence of the king. She had to come in unannounced to the presence of the king. And what happened if you did that, the presence of the king, was the king was upset that you came in, you would be executed, gone, finished. If the king held out his scepter to you, you were okay. You could touch the tip of his scepter and you came under his grace. And this is how it is when we go and in the Spirit to see the things that God has to show us. That because of the blood of Jesus, it's like that the king, we're permanently in that place where we're touching his scepter and we are safe. We may stand on the sea of glass. We may stand before the throne of God, before the epicenter of all of life going on in this entire universe, in this entire creation. We may stand there. Not only may we stand there, but we belong there. That's where we belong. That's where we belong. That's our place. That's our place. I was sitting on the sofa a couple of weeks ago, and I just felt in the Spirit, I was just sitting on this kind of like a parapet. And Jesus was sitting on the parapet. And he wasn't saying anything, but we were just looking out over the universe. And it was kind of galaxies going by. And without really making a big deal of it or without even looking at it, he just said, "This is all ours." He didn't say, "This is all mine." He said, "This is all ours." See, we have no idea of what we are in eternity. We only see matter, time, and space. But when the Spirit of God comes, he lifts us. He says, "Come up here and I will show you things." God wants to show you who you are under the blood of Jesus. And, you know, like Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He knew the right words, but he didn't fully understand that. And we know that we belong to him. But honestly, I don't believe we fully understand that. And God wants to reveal that to us, who you are in eternity because of the blood of Jesus. And I believe that what God wants to do and what God is doing is that he is releasing that word right across the earth right now, that he is revealing to men and women, boys and girls, who they are in eternity. And out of that comes a rising up in our spirit that he is creating a glorious church. People who have a greater revelation of who they are and that there is greater power, overcoming power in that revelation. Concerning the world in which we live in and concerning also our internal world. That, you know, our internal world is becoming, as we receive that word, our internal world is becoming a more glorious internal world. Amen. And God, and this is what God is doing. He's saying right across this earth, "Come up here and I will show you stuff that you have never seen before. Concerning yourself, concerning the blood of Jesus, concerning his kingdom coming, I will show you things." And that's why, you know, there has been this just intense emphasis on intimacy with God over the past while. That because it's in that place of intimacy with God where we just sit with him, where we just allow him to be God in us, in our lives. Allow him to be God. Because out of that, then we begin to hear the Spirit of God saying, "Come up here and I will show you." And when we come up, and as he shows us this stuff, we are transformed. The church is transformed. So that he is preparing a glorious church, a city, a light set on a hill that cannot be hidden in the world where there is ever increasing darkness. Amen. I think I want to leave it there right now. I just want to make an opportunity for the Spirit of God to come and touch each of our hearts anew today. And I suppose what would be wonderful for this morning is that, you know, if we could say to God, I'm opening my ears, I'm opening my heart to hear you say, come up here. I'm opening myself to be lifted into the heavenly realms, to see the things that I haven't seen before, to see the things that you want me to see. So could we say that this morning? If the Lord has touched your heart in this message, can we say that this morning? Holy Spirit, I open my heart right now. Come. Cause me to see the things concerning who Jesus is. Cause me to see the things concerning who I am. Cause me to see your kingdom coming. Amen. Thank you, Lord.